Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Of all stripes say that ultimately consumers pay the price of tariffs.
I don't believe
it. Can you guarantee American families won't pay more?
I can't guarantee anything. I can't guarantee tomorrow. But I can say that if you look at my, just pre-COVID, we had the greatest economy in the history of our country. And I had a lot of tariffs on a lot of different countries, but in particular China, we took in hundreds of billions of dollars and we had no inflation. In fact, when I handed it over, they didn't have inflation for a year and a half. They went almost 2 years just based on what I had created. And then they created inflation with energy and with spending too much. So,
and by the way, now, of course, it's funny, the president-elect in this interview with NBC's Kristen Welker, Meet the Press, and yeah, I know, she's not the best. But still, wide-ranging. You know, she's asking him some good questions, a lot of silliness, but that's par for the course. What do you expect? You have to learn to set your expectations based on reality, you know, not expectations based on, gosh, if only we had better people anchoring these shows, which we don't. So this interview was interesting in part because of the focus on inflation. He at least, you know, came back to that a couple of different times. In fact, I thought it was kind of funny when she kept pressing him on the issue of his enemies and the people against him. And, you know, it's kind of this whole theme of, well, are you going to go after the people who went after you?
Named Kash Patel to be the next FBI director. He has a list in his book of 60 people that he calls members of the so-called deep state. It includes Democrats like Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton. It includes former members of your cabinet, from Bill Barr to Christopher Wray. You campaigned on destroying the deep state. Do you want Kash Patel to launch investigations into people on that list?
No, I mean, he's going to do what he thinks is right.
Do you think that's right, sir?
If they think that somebody was dishonest or crooked or a corrupt politician, I think he probably has an obligation to do it. But
are you going to direct him to do it?
No, not at all. Not at all. We have two great people there. We have him and we have Pam.
You know, it was a really good interview. Good from the perspective of maybe less of the weird Trump stuff that you might have thought he would say. And certainly every time there was an opportunity for her to try to gotcha him on something that would make him look bad or dangerous or extreme or radical or whatever, and he kept not doing it. Like this, you know, when it came to Kash Patel and prosecuting the so-called enemies or whatever. And he basically said, well, I mean, you know, if people broke the law, then go after them. But I'm not telling anybody to go after anybody. Now, I know that folks on the left don't necessarily believe that. And, you know, that's fine. But at least you have to acknowledge that he's saying the right thing. He's saying he's not going to tell the FBI director and the attorney general who to go after. And again, whether you believe him or not, that's a different issue. But you can't complain that he's not saying the right thing. He's actually saying the very diplomatic thing, which is, I'm going to put people in power. And then they're going to make decisions that they need to make.
Your expectation, though, that Kash Patel will pursue investigations against your political enemies?
No, I don't think so.
Do you want to see that happen?
If they were crooked, if they did something wrong, if they have broken the law, probably. They went after me, you know. They went after me and I did nothing wrong.
Well, let me ask.
And particularly, I like the question about the special prosecutor, because he had said this before on Truth Social, but about going after Biden, particularly President Biden.
He said President Biden quote, that you're going to appoint a real special prosecutor to go after Joe Biden. You said that
Where
during
did I say that?
The campaign.
Where?
You said that on Truth Social, June 12th, 2023. I will appoint a real special prosecutor to go after the most corrupt president in the history of the United States, Joe Biden, and the entire Biden crime family. Are you going to do that? Are you going to go after Joe Biden?
I'm really looking to make our country successful. I'm not looking to go back into the past. I'm looking to make our country successful. Retribution will be through success. If we can make our success, this country successful, that would be my greatest, that would be such a great achievement. Bring it back.
Man, I love this answer. I hope he sticks with that perspective, which is the best revenge is to do well, is to be a great president, is to rescue the country, is to put it on the right track. And then all of that prosperity will be the revenge, right? Very different from the tone on the campaign. And, of course, I think when it comes to Trump, you've, you know, at some point, anything that he says, you have to put an asterisk behind it and say, but what's the real Trump believe? Everything he said on the campaign trail, what does the real Trump believe? Everything he says now in an interview, what does the real Trump believe? Well, yeah, you know, time will tell. But the lock him up and investigate and all of that kind of stuff, or back in, you know, 2016, lock her up, all of this, I mean, that's one persona that he used on the campaign trail. It's clearly not the persona that he's adopting now. The persona he's got now is presidential. And if nothing else, if the goal of this interview was just to look presidential, you know, 100% accomplished. Now, he did have a mild sort of Trumpy moment, but it was kind of endearing, you know, where he got off onto talking about groceries. But I think he's exactly right. She kept trying to push him onto all of these kind of unusual viewpoints or unusual topics instead of, I don't know, it just wasn't a service to the country kind of interview, but that's okay. You know, again, I've got my own thoughts about Kristen Welker's capabilities, but talking about the border and talking about the enemies list and talking about groceries.
More than immigration, you know, they like to say immigration. I break it down more to the border, but I want on the border and I want on groceries. It's a very simple word, groceries. Like almost, you know, who uses the word? I started using the word, the groceries, when you buy apples.
Who uses the word? Such a good word. Such a beautiful word, groceries. I started using the word groceries. Okay, a little bit of a Trumpy moment, but back to the comment, because I thought they were actually quite good.
I started using the word, the groceries, when you buy apples, when you buy bacon, when you buy eggs, they would double and triple the price over a short period of time. And I won an election based on that. We're going to bring those prices way down.
I agreed. I think you did win an election on that. I think people go to the store and they're like, man, I remember when, you know, eggs were a dime a piece and they're 35 cents a piece. You know, I remember when beef and chicken, I remember when bacon was $2 a pound and now it's $4 or $6 or $7 a pound. I remember when milk was $1 or $1.50 a gallon and now it's $3 or $4 or $5 a gallon. I remember when gas was $2 a gallon and now it's almost, you know, it's come down a little bit, but it, you know, I remember when it was under $2 a gallon. I mean, I remember when it was 77 cents, but whatever. You know, it wasn't that long ago. It was the 90s. Remember when gas was under $1? A lot under $1? Remember when everything was kind of $1 in the 90s? Like everything, pretty much anything you wanted to buy was $1. Like a gallon of gas, a pound of hamburger, a dozen eggs, a gallon of milk. Everything was about $1. And then all of a sudden, now, no, not that anymore. So he's right. I think he won on those things. But again, this question of the enemies just kept coming up and up. And, you know, it's fine. You know, whatever. You want to keep asking dumb questions instead of she talked with him, I guess, for about an hour and a half. About 45 minutes of it, I think, made it to air on NBC.
Bondi talks about investigating the investigators. Do you want her to investigate Jack Smith?
I want her to do what she wants to do.
Do you want to see Jack Smith investigated?
Well, I think he's very corrupt, but I want her to do whatever she has to.
Are you going
to
direct her to prosecute Jack Smith?
No, I'm not. She's a very smart person. She was a great attorney general in Florida. She's very experienced. I want her to do what she wants to do. I'm not going to instruct her to do it.
And that's the right answer. That's exactly it. Now, on the topic of the January 6th panel, this was a little bit more vehement.
And Cheney was behind it. Well, and so was Benny Thompson and everybody on that committee.
We're going to...
For what they did,
yeah.
Honestly, they should go to jail.
So you think Liz Cheney should go to jail?
For what
everyone
they did.
Everyone on the committee, you think?
I think everybody,
on the,
anybody that voted in favor.
Are you going to direct your FBI director and your attorney general to send them to jail?
No, not at all. I think that they'll have to look at that, but I'm not going to. I'm going to focus on drill, baby, drill.
I'm going to focus on making. And that's exactly the right thing, is if he thinks somebody's supposed to go to jail because they broke the law, but he's not telling his AG or his director of the FBI to investigate in that direction. That's actually the right way that it's supposed to be. 519 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Speaking of that FBI director, Kash Patel, current FBI director, Christopher Wray.
Sir, are you going to fire the current FBI director, Christopher Wray, who you appointed?
Well, I can't say I'm thrilled with him. He invaded my home. I'm suing the country over it. He invaded Mar-a-Lago. I'm very unhappy with the things he's done. And crime is at an all-time high.
And he's got another guy up to be the FBI director. So, well, there's got to be an opening in that seat, right?
Don't you have to fire him in order to make room for Kash Patel if he is, in fact, confirmed?
Well, I mean, it would sort of seem pretty obvious that if Kash gets in, he's going to be taking somebody's place, right? Now, somebody is the man that you're talking about.
So he didn't want to say it, but, you know, I think we all know what's coming here. Back on tariffs just for a second, because I thought actually some of his comments on tariffs were very interesting. Not just that they are a policy tool for, the typical historical thought about a tariff is it's a pure economic tool. And he thinks it's actually a matter of fairness. In fact, this comes up a lot in conversations with Trump historically, is if people are treating us fairly, like NATO, if they're spending properly on their military defense, then he's good with being in NATO. And if member states in NATO are not treating us fairly, then to heck with them. And if Europe is allowing us to export goods to them fairly, then great. And if Europe is having a closed market system to us and we can't export because they create all these rules, well, screw them. We don't need to be part of NATO. You know, they can take care of themselves. They can make their own dumb decisions. That's very much a part of his persona, is this kind of fairness, justice. And same thing when it comes to, you know, foreign policy, is like if Canada and Mexico are making money off of us, and if Mexico in particular is sending their people and their drugs to us, well, screw them. You know, that's very much the way he looks at the world.
I'm a big believer in tariffs. I think tariffs are the most beautiful word. I think they're beautiful. It's going to make us rich. We're subsidizing Canada to the tune of over $100 billion a year. We're subsidizing Mexico for almost $300 billion. We shouldn't be subsidizing. Why are we subsidizing these countries? If we're going to subsidize them, let them become a state. We're subsidizing Mexico, and we're subsidizing Canada, and we're subsidizing many countries all over the world. And all I want to do is I want to have a level, fast, but fair playing field.
I love the second now mention of making Canada or Mexico a state. You know, now maybe not Mexico, but Canada, you know, it's kind of in an interesting position. But also that they are a tool of foreign diplomacy when it comes to preventing wars.
It cost Americans nothing. They made a great economy for us. They also solve another problem. If we were going to have problems having to do with wars and having to do with other things, tariffs, I have stopped wars with tariffs by saying, you guys want to fight, it's great, but both of you are going to pay tariffs to the United States at 100%. And they have many purposes, tariffs, if properly used. I don't say you use them like a madman. I say properly used.
So we'll see. I mean, look, people sometimes ask me, you know, what do I think is going to happen early in the Trump administration? What kinds of things is he going to do? Is it all going to work? Are these, you know, some highly, some not at all qualified people going to be in positions of leadership? I'm very much taking a wait and see approach. He clearly won the White House. He clearly has the mandate to do the things that he wants to do. And he could be totally right. These policies could be totally fantastic. They could be cataclysmic. You know, time will tell. The first administration, I thought, was very good, very effective. COVID is an unfair standard by which to judge him because, you know, that was mass chaos and Biden didn't handle it well either. I think actually in some ways Trump handled it very well. I mean, obviously getting the vaccines developed within the first year, that's crazy. But okay, so looking at what I expect out of this administration, I think there's going to be a lot of upheaval, especially around the immigration and deportation issue. But, you know, we'll see. Is it going to be possible? Is it going to work? Is it going to destroy the agricultural sector because you're not going to have workers? Yeah, I don't know. It could be great. It could be really not great. It could be make America terrible again. I don't know. We'll see. But I, you know, it was a very interesting interview. Like I said, I think the tone was much more calm, presidential, statesmanlike almost, and, you know, almost restrained. Not that he was artificially restraining, but in the sense that you think of Trump as kind of a brawler when he's talking a lot. And he just didn't do that. He, you know, he disagreed with her a couple of times, but he didn't go after her. It wasn't mean in that sense. So it was a very interesting tone in the first interview that we've seen with him since the election. Obviously, the topics that have been making a lot of the news are the deportation, the birthright citizenship, and some of the stuff around like NATO and that stuff. But we'll get to that later on in the show. 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you need to get a good realtor because you need to sell your home or buy a home, or you know, just want to have questions asked, like, I know a lot of times before you make a decision, like selling, for example, it's good to bounce the idea off of somebody who really knows what they're doing. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. They sold 175 homes last year. That's 3.5 a week. They're on pace to sell about the same number again this year. You know, they really know what they're doing. And, you know, everything from staging to photographing to curb appeal to how you list it online and, you know, how you set an open house and a price and all that. They know how to do that. But also, just kind of understanding the market. And remember, the market at what price point, in what location? Is it better to wait till January? She actually says yes because, you know, people are very distracted right now with the holidays. But, you know, maybe give her a call and say, hey, I always hear Andrew talking about you. What can you do for me? She'll love to sit down with you and answer exactly that question. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
...became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Wendy with Barbary Plumbing wishing you a safe holiday season. Remember, please don't drink and drive.
Hi, this is Brandon Cherry.
And Taylor Cartwright.
We're the owners of the Culver's here in Pensacola and Milton. Just wishing everybody happy holiday season.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Hi, this is James Zirkle with Seville Power and Lawn Equipment wishing you happy holidays.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Boy, are you stupid, Charlie Brown.
What kind of a tree is that?
You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
I told you we'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel's chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain.
It's our first Christmas bumper. The time has come. The time has come. 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's great to have you with us on Tuesday morning. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The suspect of the UnitedHealthcare CEO killing facing multiple charges across both New York and Pennsylvania, including murder. Luigi Mangione was apprehended in Altoona, Pennsylvania yesterday at a McDonald's for that shooting death of Brian Thompson in New York. Two of President-elect Trump's more embattled nominees seeking support from senators, Pete Hegseth, nominated for defense secretary, and Tulsi Gabbard, Trump's pick for director of national intelligence, were on Capitol Hill Monday, hoping to shore up support from Republicans. And Jay-Z was all smiles Monday night in his first public appearance since a civil lawsuit accusing him of raping a 13-year-old in the year 2000. The rapper joined his wife, Beyonce, and daughter, Blue Ivy, at the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles for the premiere of Mufasa, The Lion King.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. John, I'm going to ask you your opinion about this.
Okay.
This UnitedHealthcare murder. Am I the only one who thinks that we have spent about 100 times more attention on this story than it needs to be?
Yes.
I'm the only one who thinks that?
No.
You agree?
I agree completely. Yeah.
And I'm not. It's not criticism of David. He's right. The guy's been arrested. I just mean.
But everywhere
like
I look.
It's one murder. How many people got murdered in New York City in the last month?
In the last week, in the last day.
Are we going to treat every single one? It's kind of obscene, honestly. It's like, why is this such a captivating thing? Well, because of the motives. Yeah, it's one rich guy. It's one rich white guy. And I don't know. I have found myself the whole time this has been going on just uninterested. And yet it's everywhere. It's the thing we're all supposed to care about. And maybe I'm the only one. Maybe I'm weird. I mean, I know I'm weird across the board. Okay, I see things differently than other people. But yeah, absolutely. But this just seems ridiculous, given, you know, some single mom getting gunned down in the street not deserve the same kind of attention? Does some drive-by not deserve this? Does some convenience store robbery gone wrong? Does some murder of a fellow drug dealer? I mean, it just... Oh, well, you know, this guy was a businessman, and okay. But it's one murder. One murder. It's not like he killed 17 people and we're looking for him in a nationwide manhunt. One person. It's significant, but all this?
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. A suspect arrested in Pennsylvania is charged with murdering UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Police say he had on him a 3D printed gun and silencer, a fake ID matching one used to check into a hostel before the murder and writing critical of healthcare companies.
The suspected murderer remains behind bars in Pennsylvania this morning. Luigi Mangione is now charged in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson in Midtown Manhattan. In New York, he's been charged with second degree murder along with three other gun related charges.
Fox's Brooks Singman. Israel's launched more than 300 airstrikes on suspected military sites in Syria, it says, to keep them out of the hands of extremists, with the Syrian government now overthrown.
This as the main rebel group, HTS, and its leader, Abu Muhammad al-Ghalani, continue to say the right things about including all groups in a new government.
Fox's Greg Palcott. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 71 right now. We've got partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Well, police in Atmore are investigating multiple homicide cases that happened over the weekend. One of those, Sunday on Ashley Street, officers say two people were shot multiple times in a vehicle. Both died of their injuries. Those victims have not been identified. In a separate incident on Friday, police say 32-year-old Rakeem Phillips was shot after an argument with another man at the Point Escambia Apartments. He was flown to a hospital where he eventually died. 32-year-old Jelante Giles is charged with murder in that case. Investigators say they've identified a suspect and are now working on a warrant. This is after a shooting yesterday afternoon at the McDonald's on Blue Angel Parkway. It happened in the parking lot. Witnesses tell the sheriff's office two men were talking to each other when one of them fired a gun. The victim then showed up nearby at a hospital with a gunshot wound to the leg. The man's injuries were not considered to be life-threatening. A 67-year-old man has died after a small airplane crash at the airport in Foley. Fire Chief Joey Darby says the pilot was the only person on that plane at the time of the crash. He was flying a two-seat aircraft and crashed at the Foley Municipal Airport. The man's name has not been released. The fire department says they were dispatched to that crash at about 1:30 yesterday afternoon. They arrived and found the plane on fire about midway down the runway. Investigators believe the pilot was killed immediately. The Foley Airport is closed as an investigation into the crash continues. Officials say that may take up to 3 days. Well, there is an update on the court proceedings against former Escambia County contractor Matt Banks. He now has a new lawyer after attorney Michael Griffith petitioned to withdraw from that case last week, citing irreconcilable differences with his client. Banks faces nearly 100 years in prison on racketeering and aggravated white-collar crime charges. Prosecutors say he stole more than $5 million from clients in Northwest Florida by taking money for builds and remodels but never completing the work. Banks and his new attorney are due back in court February 26th. 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. High chances of rain as you go throughout your day today. Showers and thunderstorms possible. 90% chance of rain. High near 74 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 47. For Wednesday, we will have some showers through those early morning hours, exiting by 6 a.m. Temperatures start to drop 57 degrees for that high on Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 38. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got 71 degrees all across the area, partly cloudy to mostly cloudy skies. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I am David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Now taking a look at our pre-market report this morning.
I'm Jennifer Scordo with Your Money Now. 26-year-old Ivy League graduate Luigi Mangione has been charged with first-degree murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Mangione was arrested in Altoona, Pennsylvania yesterday on gun and other charges. Automaker Stellantis and Chinese battery giant CATL announced plans today to jointly build a $4.3 billion lithium iron phosphate battery plant in Spain. Treasury yields remain little changed this morning as investors look ahead to fresh inflation data. The yield on the 10-year Treasury rose less than one basis point to 4.2069%. The Consumer Price Index for November will be published on Wednesday. Since Taylor Swift kicked off her Eras Tour in March of 2023, she has given $197 million in bonuses to her performers and crew members, according to Rolling Stone. Swift sold over $2 billion in tickets, marking a record-breaking high for gross ticket sales for a concert tour. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair and seems to be working awfully slow? After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill. It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
The Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's always Sunny's. Join Elder Scott tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel to hear about Sunny's barbecue events in the Pensacola community. Win some amazing prizes and hear how Sunny's barbecue is building a strong Pensacola, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Hey, tell Sunny Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
What does Christmas mean to you?
Hey, Andrew McKay here, and at Christmas, what I think of is the original, greatest miracle of God becoming flesh and living among us. A gift of incomparable size that we were given, and out of appreciation for which we give gifts to each other. Merry Christmas.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Sampling bonefish, collecting blood, and then analyzing that for pharmaceutical contaminants. And that's anything from antidepressants, heart medications, stuff that we take every single day inevitably makes its way into the water and then into the fish.
The big lesson we've learned, whether it's with the Miccosukee in the Everglades or in Lake Okeechobee, what happens in the interior can directly impact important marine ecosystems like this. It's about water quality and water management. We're about to see if we can make that connection.
This is kind of interesting. I've never seen this show before. It's called Wildlife Nation, and I watched it recently. I mean, a week or two ago, something like that. And they were sampling bonefish off of Miami for contaminants from pharmaceuticals, among other things, to figure out how what we do and how we pollute the water and how that's affecting the fish supply. Which I wouldn't have even thought to ask that question, but I thought it was a fascinating coverage of it.
Bonefish in Florida, throughout the Caribbean, a very valuable recreational species.
Oh, absolutely.
Bonefish is 100% catch and release. It's not a meat fishery. When you look at a bonefish, they're like jewels of the sea. Very powerful fish, very aggressive fish.
Correct, yeah. Very, very old, ancient fish. Hasn't changed since the dinosaurs.
Now, Ross, your mission is just to ensure that this fishery thrives.
Absolutely. We're here to protect the habitats, improve the water, and make sure the fisheries regulations keep these fisheries thriving.
So a couple of, I don't think it matters a whole lot to you, but it's Dr. Rick Castillo and Dr. Ross Buchek doing the talking there, but particularly talking about the pharmaceuticals that have seeped into the bloodstream of these bonefish off Miami.
How can something as molecularly sensitive and small and specific as an antibiotic, how does that mainstream itself into a population of something completely biologically different like a fish?
In the United States, we have 6 billion prescriptions dispensed every single year. It's a constant influx of all of these medications that interact with each other. In our study, we found on average, each fish has 7 different pharmaceuticals in its blood. So those could be interacting with each other.
Doesn't seem good. Doesn't seem like the good thing, right?
How does that affect the health of the fish?
There's a lot of different ways it can. A fish's brain isn't very different than a human brain in terms of its chemical makeup and things. So if you take an antidepressant, it's the same thing as a fish taking an antidepressant. It loses its fear of predators, becomes less social, which changes its whole behaviors and how it survives. Even things like hormone medication can affect the hormones of fish.
So for example, if you're taking reproductive medication, you unknowingly can affect the reproductive success of fish.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's wild.
What? What? You've got your little blue pills, you've got your antidepressants, you've got your antibiotics, and now that's changing the behavioral patterns of fish in this case in the Pacific or in the Gulf? Well, maybe, yeah.
Really the thing
I particularly thought the analysis of the, you know, if it makes them more happy and less afraid of predators, oh, look, shark. Woohoo. You know, maybe it doesn't show up quite that much, but right, that's a change of the population, right?
Really, the thing is that our wastewater treatment plants were designed to remove other sort of contaminants, not these new emerging contaminants. So it's an improvement of infrastructure that really could help solve this problem.
So if we treated our wastewater treatment, if we had our wastewater treatment plant set to the standard to get rid of that kind of stuff instead of just the, you know, biological materials, then maybe things would be a little different. I'm still stuck on the, like, you know, the happy fish. Like, hey, Sharky, I see you. I don't know. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. I wanted to share it with you. Meanwhile, Jasmine Crockett. Now, if Jasmine Crockett is not a name that you recognize, she's a Democrat representative in Congress from Texas. And we had a House hearing in which they were talking about well, you know, oppression, a very congressional kind of thing to talk about. And she made comments that were, what's the word I want? Interesting?
Recently said over and over the word oppression, and every time that you said it, it was almost as if I was hearing nails on a chalkboard, because it seems like you don't understand the definition of oppression, and I'd ask you to just refer to Google to help you out. Oppression is the prolonged, cruel, or unjust treatment or control. That is the definition of oppression. And so as I sit here as a black woman who practiced civil rights, let me tell you the reason that my colleagues wanted to make sure you understood the same black history that your side of the aisle wants to delete out of classrooms is because you can then misuse words like oppression. There has been no oppression for the white man in this country.
So this is over the discussion of the Dismantle DEI Act, which, as you might know from the title, is the idea of getting rid of diversity, equity, and inclusion measures. A House Oversight Committee looking at this. Clay Higgins, a representative from Louisiana, had used the word oppression. And then, you know, she had her response.
You tell me which white men were dragged out of their homes. You tell me which one of them got dragged all the way across an ocean and told that you are going to go and work. We are going to steal your wives. We are going to rape your wives. That didn't happen. That is oppression. We didn't ask to be here. We're not the same migrants that y'all constantly come up against. We didn't run away from home. We were stolen.
She seems like a delightful dinner guest to invite over for, you know, maybe a couple of hands of bridge or pinochle or euchre, if you've ever heard of it. you know, just come on over. Let's have a nice, calm conversation.
So, yeah, we are going to sit here and be offended when you want to sit here and act like, and don't let it escape you that it is white men on this side of the aisle telling us, people of color on this side of the aisle, that y'all are the ones being oppressed, that y'all are the ones that are being harmed. That's not the definition of oppression. You tell me the prolonged, cruel, or unjust treatment that you've had, and we can have a conversation.
So, you know, House hearings are often not that interesting. This one was at least a little bit more entertaining than most.
White men represent 30% of the population, but 62% of office holders. These are the issues that we are constantly looking at and recognizing and trying to say, is this just? I can't even tell you how many white men have served in this chamber, but I can tell you that I am only the 55th black woman to be elected to Congress. And so when you want to talk about history and pretend as if it was so long ago, it wasn't. Because again, I am just number 55.
So, the conversation here was about the value of what you used to call affirmative action, what you would now call diversity, equity, and inclusion, what Walmart is now calling belonging initiatives, because they're moving away from DEI, and, you know, whether these things are good, whether caring about people's gender or biological sex, if you think those are different things, or caring about their race are important elements of measuring anything, right?
Finally, when we started to talk about what do these numbers do as we're trying to say the diversity, equity, and inclusion is the problem, the reality is that when it comes to financial performance, companies with more diverse workforces are more likely to outperform their competitors. Companies in the top quartile for racial diversity are 35% more likely to outperform their peers on profitability. Companies with diverse executive teams are 25% more likely to generate greater profits. Diverse companies earn 2.5 times higher cash flow per employee. Diversity works.
So this is a really interesting argument to me because, as you heard, her case is if we can get more women and minorities inside the workforce, that we will have a more productive company. And I'm always skeptical about these claims. And I'll tell you why. It's because I step back and I say, I've studied a little economics. And if it's true that having a more diverse workforce of the sort she's talking about, of the, you know, skin color and gender and I mean, why nobody talks about height variety for diversity? I don't have never figured out, but they don't. You know, left-handed and right-handed, why don't they talk about that? Which is weirdly right brain, left brain dominant, which you would think actually would be some interesting viewpoint diversity. But we don't ask people whether they're right-handed or left-handed when they apply for a job. Why? Again, I don't really know. Okay, but we don't. I mean, I do know because we don't have this historic oppression of people on the basis of their left-handedness. Although there's some, you know, look at schools and how to design the way the desks are set up. I mean, you know, it's not a zero, okay? It's certainly not to the level of having black skin tone, okay? You know, it's somewhere in between closer to the zero than the other, obviously. But it's not a zero. Anyway, back to the point. If diversity in the workforce really does make your company more profitable, then every single CEO would be pursuing diversity in the workforce for the point of being profitable. And you wouldn't have to mandate it. You shouldn't have to mandate it because it makes money. It's kind of like the argument, and I apologize. I don't like to repeat myself, but I always feel a little ashamed and embarrassed about repeating something that I think is obvious, especially if I've already said it, you know, 50 or 100 times. But the whole business about this imaginary wage gap between men and women, that women earn, pick your number, 77, 81, 79, 43, Omaha. You know, that they earn some lower rate of pay than men, to which I say, nonsense. He said, well, how do you know, Andrew? Well, because common sense. Because men have jobs. No, seriously, I mean, men have jobs. And if you can get the same amount of work out of a woman for 4/5 the price, why would anybody hire a man? Hire a woman at 80 cents on the dollar and get the end result you need of having the same exact work product. Now, does that mean that it's a lie that women aren't actually paid less? Is it a lie that women are producing the exact same output as men? You know, where is the nature of the lie? I don't know, but I know that the whole concept is false. Because, again, I know a lot of guys with jobs, and if I ran a business and I really believed that you could get exactly the same productivity out of women as men at 80 cents on the dollar, why would you hire a man? You're an idiot. Same thing here. If you can get what the numbers that she's talking about, if you can get that much better of a productivity output, that much more profitability out of hiring what she's describing as a diverse workforce by hiring a diverse workforce, what kind of fool wouldn't do that? You think business people are in business to not make money? So that makes me question the premise of what she's saying. And I know that, you know, variety in a workforce can be good. It can also be a source of conflict and challenge and discord. You know, armies are built by making everybody the same, and that's what makes them strong. When, you know, the army of everybody does their own thing, not a very effective army. Same thing in a business. The business culture of similarity is powerful. The business culture of great disagreement and diversity, I mean, it can be useful, but you know, ultimately, you've got to all kind of be on the same page or else it doesn't work. Think in a sports team. You know, if the awesome offensive tackle thinks that he should do his own thing through diversity, well, that team's not going to do that well. Anyway, so back to the comment, just because that one kind of catches me by irritation. Her last comment. Again, this is Jasmine Crockett from Texas.
And until you can show me data that says otherwise, I think that we need to go back to being a country that listens to experts and gets out of our feelings and recognizes again that racism is real in this country. And until we stop pretending that it's not, we will not solve the problems that we are consistently facing. And that will bring real unity that we seek when we're looking for a more perfect union.
Racism is real. Racism exists, I think, in members of many races. There are perpetuated distinctions and differences and isolation and separation and grievances nurtured by all races. And I don't think there's enough talk about the whole spectrum of what is racism, who engages in it. It's often defined as you can only be a racist if you're in the dominant race, okay, which I think is nutty. But, I mean, there's a lot to talk about here. And I just thought, you know, hey, a random house hearing, Jasmine Crockett. Entertaining, if nothing else. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I'm getting a lot of comments about how you agree with me about the UHC CEO who was murdered. And how about the Daniel Penny acquittal? Yeah. Yeah. Although, to be fair, you know, to kind of hold principle, that was also just a single person who died and a single person who was on trial. That also is not the end-all, be-all of anything in the world. Although that one has been covered quite a bit and does kind of capture a bunch of elements in what we think of as self-defense, public service, you know, somebody being on drugs. You know, there's kind of a lot of dimensions to that one. But yeah, same criticism. I'm very glad Daniel Penny is free. I thought that there shouldn't have been charges filed in the first place. He was absolutely harmed, even though he did not get convicted. All of that is true. But still, that is just one story about one, well, two people, right? And be cautious about thinking that any one story is the most important thing going on in the world. 554 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
We're sharing more than ever before during the 2024 Subaru Share the Love event. Now through January 2nd, when you purchase or lease a new Subaru, Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities: the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $200 to Subaru's donation. And for every routine Subaru vehicle service visit, Anderson Subaru will donate $5 more to the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association. So far, we've donated over $175,000 to fight breast cancer right here in Pensacola. Get a great vehicle and support a great cause at the Subaru Share the Love event now through January 2nd. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation for new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share for details.
Visit Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze for custom engraving and unique gifts. Specializing in creating extraordinary keepsakes, their expert engravers bring your vision to life with elegant monograms, personalized messages, and logos. Whether it's custom drinkware, engraved glassware, or home decor, each piece is crafted with attention to detail for any occasion. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, or corporate gifts, Prim and Proper ensures your gift will leave a lasting impression. Stop by their Gulf Breeze location or visit them online at primandproper.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Classes start January 10th. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you we could help you reach your audience while they're at a sporting event? Let ADX Digital help you connect to your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with us today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfancap and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Would you look at that?
What is it?
It's a leg!
But what is it?
Yeah, well, it's a leg, you know, like in a statue.
Statue?
Yeah, statue!
Listen to Aretha all day.
I mean, we were going to have church up in here.
5:57 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the parents of an American journalist that went missing in Syria say their son is alive and they believe they'll be reunited with him soon. In an interview with NBC News, the parents of Austin Tice say that they received intel just prior to the fall of the Syrian government that their son was alive and, they say, well cared for. What they don't know is who's holding him. Tice went missing in 2012 as he was covering the Syrian civil war.
Oh, man, I sure hope so. A decade.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. Yeah.
That'd be awful to be held for that long. TikTok asking for an emergency motion to stop a law that would ban it from going into effect next month. In a court filing on Monday, ByteDance said that temporary pause would give the Supreme Court time to review the case. And Merriam-Webster unveiling its choice for word of the year. The dictionary publisher announced yesterday that 2024's defining word is polarization.
Cool. Cool. And then who had said demure? Was that the new word of the year? From Oxford, yes. Or whatever?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
Okay, cool.
The new old word of the year, because I believe that's been around for a while.
Well, but it's got a different definition that's basically the opposite of the old definition, so which is very, very postmodern. So I appreciate that. David, thanks so much for the update. 559. Oh, we had the 8 candidate gaggle for Congressional District 1 over in Navarre yesterday, 2.5 hours worth. I did not watch it yet. Interesting note, Jimmy Petronas did not show up. He called in, and he was on the phone for a little while. So, and then he left, and then they all attacked him at a distance. Do you know you don't have to be a resident of your district to be in Congress? Just the state.
You're listening to...